CBS News Brief. Donald Trump is looking to deliver a Super Tuesday knockout punch.
We've been launching like a rocket to the Republican nomination.
And challenger Nikki Haley's won just one GOP presidential contest so far. Political scientist Youssef Chouhoud says a protest vote could once again surface in Democratic voting.
You really can't ignore the mobilizing power behind what's going on in Gaza right now.
Secretary of State Blinken talked Gaza today with Qatar's foreign minister.
Israel has to maximize every possible means, every possible method of getting assistance to people who need it.
Fire Chief Tim Duncan investigating the explosions and fire at an industrial site north of Detroit. A canister sent flying struck and killed a man a quarter mile away.
How can you say anything, you know, about a 19-year-old who lost his life last night? It's something that, you know, will stick with you.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two lawyers who recruited a group of Wisconsin Republicans to be fake presidential electors for Donald Trump in 2020 have settled a lawsuit against them. James Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro turned over more than 1,400 pages of documents as part of the settlement that explains how the two developed and carried out the scheme. Today is Super Tuesday. Voters in 15 states and American Samoa should put President Biden and Donald Trump closer to their party's nominations. Trump spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt on WISN-TV's Upfront.
And that's why we have already shifted gears to focus on the general election in November. So we'll be coming to Wisconsin. We'll be coming to battleground states like Pennsylvania and Michigan in the next several months.
Wisconsin is one of a handful of states expected to decide the winner in November. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, March 6th. Wisconsin Land and Water will be holding their annual conference, March 6th, starting at 8 a.m. through March 8th in Green Bay. The Wood County Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse in Room 114. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 11 a.m. in Wausau. In Portage County, the Deer Management Committee meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5. The Public Library Board meeting will take place at 4:30 in Stevens Point at the Annex in Conference Room 5. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 to noon at the Adams County Community Center. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 5 at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Put the flavor back in your life with El Cafe and never settle for bland food again. They may be a small-town diner with a quaint menu, but the flavors here are big. Start your day right with El Cafe's Irish Benedict, consisting of poached eggs topped with sliced corned beef on an English muffin covered in hollandaise sauce. Yum. El Cafe is a proud sponsor of WFHR's Birthday and Anniversaries Club, so tune in for your chance to win a meal from El Cafe and put some fiesta into your special day.
Huge win at home for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the LA Clippers 113-106 at Fiserv Forum, and they did it without Giannis or Chris Middleton, both out with injuries. The Bucks were down by 13 but made changes on defense. Doc Rivers.
We went zone a lot in the second half. We switched everything. You know, maybe their timing was off because of the zone. I thought it did help. Sure. And then I thought our execution offensively was unbelievable down the stretch. We got the ball. When they trapped, we moved the ball. We kept the game simple.
College basketball, Marquette drops to number 8 in the AP Top 25 after losing to Creighton. The Badgers did not receive a single vote after being ranked number 6 just a month ago. They host Rutgers Thursday. Are they concerned?
No, because this league is hard. This is one of the better teams in the country. You know, we got enough that we have to continue to try to get better at that'll help us going forward. So right now, it's all about Rutgers and getting ready for that.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be sunny and warmer today. Our high 51 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 15 today. Clear tonight, we'll drop to 25 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds in the afternoon, 52 for a high by Thursday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
It's an exciting time here at Family Natural Foods. March 7th, Mike Hittner's, the father of Family Natural Foods team, will be here talking about his many health secrets. Join in at 5:15 p.m. March 7th, 910 West Grand Avenue. With over 50 years of experience in the natural health industry, he's a well of knowledge and would love to share what he knows with you. Please come and enjoy a great presentation with door prizes and samples, too. Family Natural Foods, where healthy living comes naturally.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the incomparable Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Welcome in, everyone. Everyone, it's a sunny day here in the capital city, downtown Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square here in the capital city. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
I'm doing all right. Still recovering a little bit. Sometimes when you get sick, you're sick for a day or two and then you're over it. Right. Sometimes when you get sick, it just kind of lingers. We said yesterday, it's still lingering, still feel tired, still a little goopy.
Can I hear it in your voice a little bit? Certainly better. We wish you a speedy and fast recovery. Going to be a big show today. Looking forward to it. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to preview Super Tuesday. Big voting all across America today. Well, not all across, not in every state, but several states, some of the biggest, California and Texas. A lot will be decided in terms of who's going to get the nomination. Will Trump come close to securing it? By the way, neither Trump nor Biden can lock up the nomination via delegates tonight, but they can get close. Will Nikki Haley be able to win another state? I mean, I know D.C. isn't a state, but she did win Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Can she pull out a win somewhere tonight? We shall see. Yes.
One other important question we'll have to answer when it comes to that. Is Super Tuesday anything like Super Grover?
No, I do not believe so. No,
it's good to know.
But lots of news will be made tonight, so we'll preview that. And, of course, tomorrow on the show, we'll have our own Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project, who's worked in national politics, and also our very own Pat Kreitlow, a former state senator and broadcaster as well. So we will go through the results on tomorrow's show, but we will preview Super Tuesday later on in this episode. Also, probably to the surprise of not many, the fake elector scheme originated in Wisconsin. I know, hard to believe, shocking. But we will have that story for you a little bit later on. And Ron Johnson, good old U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, is leaving the door open to be the leader of the Senate Republicans.
Well, I wouldn't choose to be the leader, but I mean, if anybody wants to make me the leader.
Well, we'll see. We will check in with that a little bit later as well. And also our very own Luke Mathers, fresh back from the vacation trail. We will tell you where he's been. He will join us after the bottom of the hour at 12:34. It is Tuesday Tangents with our very own Luke Mathers. Find out what's on his mind and also perhaps what's grinding his gears. We're going to start there. A little bit different. I mean, we take on a lot of serious topics on the show. And look, this is serious, but it's a little bit lighthearted as well. And I want to make clear from the outset here, although I'm born and raised in beautiful Richland Center, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, and grew up there, I've spent roughly more or less somewhere between 20, 25 years, 25 probably closer to 25 years of my life, living here in the beautiful city of Madison at various assorted and sundry locations. And I love Madison. It's a great place to live, great place to work, has a lot of great attributes. But from time to time, you run across a couple of things that are just kind of goofy. And the people that work, the city workers that work at Madison, fine folks, the parking people amongst them. So this is not, this little thing we're doing here is not, you know, at them. It's not personal. Not personally, you understand. It's just what kind of gets in my craw based on experience. And quite frankly, people who have reached out and said, can you do something about this? And I said, well, you know, look, we got a radio show every midday afternoon. And it's not just Madison. I think this is statewide. So we invite your calls across the state of Wisconsin. But what I'm talking about here is alternate side parking. You know what I'm saying? This happens in the winter. It usually kicks in somewhere around November, and it goes through the middle of March, at least here in the city of Madison. And what it says is that you have to keep track of the days by number. So like today is the 5th of March. Tomorrow is the 6th. So if I were parking on the streets in Madison during alternate side parking, I would have to park tonight. If I was parking on the street, I'd have to park for the even side of the road, because tomorrow is the 6th. It's an even number. So then you got to look at the house numbers, and you got to, you know, you want to be on the side that says, you know, 458, you know, you want to be on the even side. You have to keep track of this every night. And if you're on the wrong side of the street past usually midnight, then they can come along and they can give you a ticket. Well, of course, these can add up, but it could cause all types of problems.
Or you could even get towed.
You could even get towed. This has not happened to me recently because I am fortunate enough to have off-street parking where I live right now in the city of Madison. But it has affected me in the past, and I know for a lot of people, particularly younger people, students, and quite frankly, those who can't afford a building with indoor off-street parking. So usually, you know, not usually, but many times it can affect people on a lower income as well. And believe me, as someone who spent time in my life being on a lower income, the last thing you need, the last thing is a ticket to make it even tougher when it comes to paying your bills every month. So we thought this would be a public service. We thought it'd be a good thing. And so we wrote the city of Madison, the fine folks at the parking enforcement, and we heard back. So we wrote to them and said, hey, we're doing, and we wrote to them on Monday, February 26th. And in fairness, it didn't go out until almost 9:30 at night. So let's just say that they received it on Tuesday, February 27th. And we said, hey, we're going to do a little segment here on alternate side parking in Madison on March 5th between noon and 2. Told them about the show. We'd appreciate your consideration having someone come join us on the air. If not, could we submit a list of questions? And by golly, the parking enforcement supervisor the next day in the city of Madison, she writes back promptly at 8:16 the following morning on Tuesday, February 27th. So literally 1 week ago. And she says, quote, hi, Todd, that is fairly short notice. I am not sure if we would have anyone available. Can you send us the questions and we can do our best, unquote.
And quick note, I told Luke Mathers about this, and he, when I told him that was the response that you got, he translated that from city bureaucrat to English, and the translation was, go pound sand.
Well, I'm not so sure I would go that far. I mean, I'm willing. I mean, it was a very nice note, and it was very friendly. So look, I've worked in bureau. I've been a state legislative staffer and a federal legislative staffer. I got no problem with the response, you understand, the initial response. But that was a week ago.
Right.
We have not heard. And so I promptly wrote back after I'd gotten that response. I wrote back to her and I gave her I said, thank you so much. And here's the thrust of our piece. Basically, look, people have grown weary of alternate side parking tickets in the middle of winter when it's getting to be 50 degrees. And look, I'm a former alder person from a small town, Richland Center. I understand, I get the need to keep streets safe and accessible. However, as a Madison resident, I also feel for folks and agree a compromise can be found. And I just want to make sure we have our ducks in a row here and give listeners factual information. It's an opportunity to have a little bit of fun, but also to address a serious topic for a lot of folks. We'd invite someone to come to our downtown studios. If not, here are a list of questions. Number one, please explain the rationale for alternate side parking regulations. Okay, pretty straightforward. Number two, how is alternate side parking enforced? How large is the workforce dedicated to it? Number three, what are the fines for violating alternate side parking? Number four, where does the money raised for violations go? All right, how much per annum, how much per year, basically? Number five, what has changed, if anything, about alternate side parking policies over time? And number six, would it be feasible to simply do away with alternate side regulations and call for snow emergencies as necessary, a la the current policy on the isthmus? I said, thanks a lot for helping us. Give me a call if you have any questions. Have not heard back. That was a week ago. Have not heard back to our email.
And so your questions were polite, and yeah. They were nothing seemed targeted or rude.
No, it
seems like it would be easy enough information to provide within a week.
And exactly. Thank you. And I think maybe it got me. We're not looking to cause trouble. You understand? We're not looking to cause anybody, you know, their job. We're not looking to get, I don't blame anyone other than just governmental bureaucracy, which, having been a part of government at one time, I understand how that happens. But I think there's an easy solution here, in my opinion, where everybody can be happy. Because if you live on the Isthmus of Madison, around the Capitol Square and University area, what have you, you could park anywhere overnight, except when the city knows that's forecast to be, like, I think it's 3 inches of snow or more, they declare a snow emergency. And they let people know by contacting their local friendly radio station, people like us, and also put it on local Madison television. And I think other municipalities around the state do this. And you say, hey, okay, Todd, there's a big storm coming, or a storm. I need to adhere to overnight parking for 3, 4, 5 days until they get the snow cleaned up. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But when you leave the alternate side parking in effect year round, and it's for days forecast to be well above freezing, particularly now, right? Why do we have alternate side parking? Because all it does is just, it confuses people and it gets people tickets. Most of those people have a hard time paying them anyway, and it makes life rough. So why not just help out people, whether you're in Madison or other ways, and just do away with alternate side parking? So, and by the way, we have, if you go to our Facebook page, our Twitter place, Mr. Zomer, I probably can put it up on our website as well, and in the show notes, we have, in a very Madisonian way, filed a petition, or we formed a petition. And particularly if you live in the city of Madison, go to Todd Allball, the Allball Show on Facebook or Twitter or at Civic Media, and click on it, and you can sign the petition to end alternate side parking in the city of Madison. Very, very simple. So the question to you all today is, we would love to hear from you, whether you're in Madison or not. Have you received an alternate side parking ticket? How about last night? Right? It was still pretty warm here in Madison. Other parts as well. What's the most egregious alternate side parking ticket you've ever received? And by the way, if you work for a parking enforcement, call in. Mr. Zomers will take your call. We'll make sure that it's not just some crank caller. We'll get your name and make sure that it's a legitimate person. We're not going to put you right on the air, but we'll have you back because we're going to be talking about this all week. Call in. Give us a ring-a-ling. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also, text us on the app. Back after this, it's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do trees and the joy of painting artist Bob Ross have in common? Ross loved both painting and the environment. He used simple brush strokes to bring happy little trees to life on canvas. Well, now the Wisconsin DNR is using this as inspiration for a virtual Run for the Trees race called the Bob Ross Happy Little 5K. The race supports a healthy lifestyle along with a healthy forest, and a part of your registration fee will go towards a large tree planting effort all across Wisconsin. Now, the best part, pick where and how you start and finish, and complete your 5K anytime between Earth Day on April 22nd and Arbor Day, April 26th. Find all the details and sign up at dnr.wisconsin.gov/events, and then simply search for Run for the Trees. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Town Hall Mall Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. It is 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Sommers, give us some background here. There's and by the way, a big shout out to our colleagues here at Civic Media, John and Gordy, who do the local morning show here every morning from 6 until 8 on WMDX here in Madison, John Gordy, along with their fine producer, the great Sam Davison, who has filled in for Mr. Zommers on occasion. So Sam passed that song on to you. What is that song, Mr. Zommers?
Sam found a tune by Milwaukee local band Diet Light.
Diet Light.
Diet Light, mm-hmm. Called Madison City Parking Ticket Groove. And in there, they were just naming Madison streets and stuff and talking about getting tickets in the city. And they're like, ma'am, this sucks.
It does suck. And that's the point of this bit. That's the point of doing this petition. You can find it at the All Ball Show on Facebook and Twitter. Mr. Zommers will put it up on the page as well. If you live in Madison, you could go and sign this to help us end alternate side parking in the city of Madison. Well, not, I shouldn't say end it, but simply change it so that we go by a snow emergency and only have alternate side parking when we have a snow emergency. That's the point here. Also love to hear from you, whatever city you're in Wisconsin, if you've received alternate side parking ticket, what are your feelings about it? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. This is fantastic. Our first call right here in the city of Madison, Jesse calling in from the Isthmus here in the city of Madison. Jesse, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking the call. So I've lived in the Willie Street neighborhood for the last 20 years, right? So right. We've dealt with this before these changes even came into effect, but we've always had something like them in place. Typically, alternate side parking for street sweeping during the warmer months, which has now become year-round, which you don't need to sweep the streets, but it's nice to have the extra days to plow one side or the other if, you know, only the arteries got done, right? The problem that has still not been resolved to this day is that in my neighborhood, you can't park on one side on Monday or Tuesday on the other morning, right? But if there's also a snow emergency declared, then you have to park legally on one side between 1 and 7 a.m. in the morning, and everybody apparently goes out like a swimming ballet with synchronized swimmers, where we all need to leave our homes. Everyone within a one-mile radius needs to move our cars from one side of the street to the other side of the street between 7 and 8 o'clock, or whatever it is. It's either an hour or less, right? Well, that's already nonsensical. Yeah. However, one year, the year that I complained and made a formal complaint, it was 30 degrees below zero without a wind chill. So expecting everyone in that perimeter to actually do this was actually a very legitimate public health issue. Mm-hmm. And when I complained to the street department, I was told in Luke's sage verbiage to pound sand in it. I mean, it wasn't overt, but it wasn't exactly put into bureaucratese even. It was a little more direct than
that. Oh, really? All right. Well, see, this is. I mean, I'm sorry this happened to you, but this is fantastic to get real experiences from real people. And Willie Street area is a beautiful, cool part of Madison if you've never been. But you're and some of these streets, I think Jesse, you'll agree, some of the older streets are narrower than other streets. And
my block is like 28 feet wide, so it's very narrow. And I definitely appreciate the need to plow during a snow event. But if there's not one, it's asinine to, it is a regressive tax on the poor to levy that single night that I talked about where it was dangerously cold out. There were 17 people on my block alone that got tickets and that's insane.
Yeah, that you're right. It is a tax on the poor folks because I mean, I've certainly have been times when I couldn't afford to live in a place that had off-street parking and you know, it's usually people that can't afford those places that have to park on the street. And then those folks are the ones that get the tickets. I've been there. I get it. And that's why part of why we're doing this. So what do you think about the idea? What do you think about the idea, Jesse, that we have for that Madison should move to a citywide snow emergency alternate side parking? And then they just give you a heads up or you watch the forecast and you say, hey, if there's going to be snow of significant snow, 3 or more inches, you know, you got to move the car.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And as long, I mean, that's mostly what we have now, but you're exactly right. If it's very clearly not going to be a snow emergency, I'll say this, playing devil's advocate for a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've got to keep street department workers employed year-round, and they've got to give them something to do. So maybe that's a part of it. But maybe on those days they either do something else or they send the trucks around without having to ticket people. Something's got to give, though. Something's not working, and it hasn't in a long time.
I agree, and I'm just not for – I'm not – like if some yahoo wants to leave their vehicle in the same place for 30 days in a row while we get a big snowstorm, well, then fine. You know, tow or ticket their rear end because that's just being – I mean, you're just not being common sense there. But otherwise, like you were saying before, what it ends up being are all these fines. And I will tell you as a former city alder, not from Madison but a different town, that some municipalities, not all – but some basically budget in and say, look, we're going to plan on this amount of tax fines on our own citizens as a form of revenue. That's built into the budget, and I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, me either.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for calling for Willie Street. Have a great day. See, now that's exactly what we're looking for, Mrs. Zomers. People of real-life experience like this. If you have experienced an alternate side of a street parking ticket, either in Madison or anywhere across the state, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, you know I've had my own share of parking problems in Green Bay from overparking, and I have paid my said fine. It was rather complicated, but what are your feelings on alternate side parking, Stephen?
Well, I lived in Madison for a short amount of time on the Capitol Square, and parking can be a little confusing in Madison. I know that.
Yes.
I think, Todd, maybe you just have problems with parking in cities. I don't know. But with
fair,
that being
fair,
said,
fair.
I live in Green Bay, and you think the alternate side parking is bad? We're not allowed to park on the street at all between the hours of 2 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Anywhere?
And if you do, you get ticketed. Anywhere in the city.
Now, wait a minute. Time out. You can't park anywhere in the city of Green Bay on city streets between 2 and 5 a.m.?
Correct.
Well, what do you do if you live in an apartment that doesn't have off-street parking?
You will see that there are a lot of nice neighbors who lend their driveway out, and they're just full of cars from people who can't park in the street. And they'll just park their car in their neighbor's driveway.
Now, this I did not know. That seems beyond the pale. So you're telling me if I stay overnight in Green Bay and I go out between 2 and 5 a.m., which, you know, that would be unusual for Todd, but let's just say I do, that I should not find any cars on the city streets of Green Bay.
You shouldn't, and if you do, they're probably going to get ticketed.
Wow. Now, you've educated us, Stephen. Thanks for calling. Always a pleasure. Stephen in Green Bay. Welcome back. Talk more about alternate side parking and also doing some tangents with our very own Luke Mathers, fresh in from traveling the country. It's the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For the first time in a long time, Taiwan is back in the U.S. corn market. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says it was due in part to China's activity in South America.
Corn sales have been moving along pretty nicely here, you know, because we are still competitive at this point. But Taiwan stepped in the market yesterday, picked up a little over 100,000 tons, about 4.5 million bushels of corn. You know, we call those announced sales because they're over a certain requirement. The USDA has to publicize those in terms of the media, and they need to get out there on their websites, things of that nature. This is the first time we've seen a sale from Taiwan get published like that since 2017. Yeah, maybe that's just a reshuffling of the deck chairs in terms of the corn demand. China's picked up so much corn out of Brazil that the customers that would typically go there have to go somewhere else, and that's led them to us in some cases.
That was John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. I'll have a look at your midday commodity markets right after this.
Research, education, and promotion, that's where Wisconsin soybean marketing dollars are invested. Pat Malooly from Clinton is a grower himself and current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. He said, we're fortunate to have great researchers that collaborate well with Wisconsin farmers.
To have them here in the state of Wisconsin, the way they can bring it down to farmer terms or just common terms, because there's some researchers that will talk over your head, and they don't do that, and they truly do work well together. The other part of that is they're leveraging dollars back to their programs from the other half of the checkoff dollars that go to the federal level. So a lot of those are coming back to them more than what Wisconsin dollars are showing.
Pat Malooly, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, he's a grower from Clinton, elaborating on the research team we have right here in the state. Dr. Sean Conley, Dr. Rodrigo Worley, Dr. Damon Smith. Find out more about how your soybean checkoff dollars are invested. Go to wisoybean.org. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your midday markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 414 and a quarter. That's down 3.25 cents. New crop corn is trading at 460 and a quarter, and that's down 2.75 cents. Cash soybeans are trading at 1146 and a quarter, down 3 quarters. And new crop beans are trading at 1147, and that's up 3 quarters. Cash wheat is trading at 547 and a half. That's down 16 cents. And new crop wheat is trading at 555 and a quarter, and that is down 12 cents. Transitioning now to the dairy side of things, April Class 3 milk contract is trading at $16.52 a hundredweight. That's down 6 cents. And May milk is trading at $17.04 a hundredweight, and that is down a penny. Farm team member Stephanie Hoff is at the World Championship Cheese Contest today, so be sure to stay up to date with us on the happenings there, as well as all things agriculture, by downloading our app. You can find it at thefarmwi.com. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be sunny and warmer today. Our high 51 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 15 today. Clear tonight. We'll drop to 25 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds in the afternoon. 52 for a high by Thursday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This
is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Tries the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome back in. We always appreciate having our next guest here every Tuesday, fresh off the vacation trail, the one, the only, Luke Mathers, our executive producer here at Civic Media, and a fine person all around. Mr. Mathers, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well. Squeeze every single ounce of vacation that I possibly can, so I didn't get home till after midnight last night, so it's a little bit of a rough day. You know, coming back from vacation.
You're dragging,
I knew that it was going to be jumping back on like a moving vehicle anyways, so it's like, what's
young. An extra
2 hours?
You're young.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Zahmer's playing some great playing music there. Cage coming to Madison, but
really,
be careful. You won't be able to find a parking spot near the, all right, the concert. So you're gonna have to you're gonna be upset the whole concert if you go because you can't find any parking.
All right, let's clear this up. last segment, we're talking about the fact that we are launching a petition. You could sign it if you're a Madison resident at Facebook or Twitter page or X or Twix, whatever you want to call it. And Zomers will put it on our Facebook or our show page as well, but we're launching this. Let's end alternate side parking in the city of Madison, because we already don't have it in downtown Madison, the Isthmus. Here's the thing. When it is forecast to snow more than 3 inches, they declare a snow emergency. And then people know, okay, now for the next 4 or 5 days, we have to do alternate side parking. But you don't do it all year round. I'm simply saying, let's expand that to the entire city of Madison. And now we have a listener that texts in, and God bless him, we appreciate it. Steady Eddie texts in and says, Todd, one problem I see with ending alternate side parking in Madison, where are you going to park your car in a snow emergency? I'll bet you $20 that the number of cars in Madison will increase. When it snows, people will not have made arrangements to park off street. The snow will not get cleared from the streets. The problem of snow removal will get worse. Unquote. Well, Steady, I appreciate you texting in. Maybe I didn't explain it clear enough, but like I just said, you still have alternate side parking. It's simply that it goes into effect during the snow emergency. That's it. And this morning when I was on John and Gordy's show here at WMDX, and God love him for having a goofball like me on at 7:30, reporting live from the streets.
You didn't make it into the studio in time?
I could. I chose to. I thought, well, this would be authentic. And so I was walking the streets of Madison.
Oh, okay. I thought you were stuck in your car.
No, I was walking the streets of Madison, and contrary to popular belief, not trying to find a date, but simply reporting. I was on the street, you understand, Luke Street. Okay. And so I called in, and John and Gordy put me on the air. We talked about this, and one of their listeners was kind enough to kind of point out maybe people could use the city ramps as part of that, get your car off the street or whatever, if you live downtown, obviously.
You can. It's already the rule.
Well, there you go. See, that's part of it.
Yeah, if there's a declared snow emergency, city ramps become free, I believe. I'm no longer a City of Madison resident, so I don't know.
You're not.
I haven't used it in a little while, but I believe ramps become free overnight. Like, you got to have it out by whatever time, but you can use city parking ramps in cases of snow.
But what I'm calling for is not the end of alternate side parking in all cases. I'm simply saying let's end it unless there's a snow emergency. Then you do it for 3, 4, 5 days until they get the streets cleaned up and
this
you're
is
set
not
to go.
What I thought I'd be caught up on, catching up on news from getting back from vacation. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, this is not an issue to you.
No, it really isn't, and I can see your passion behind it, but I can understand some.
People have called in. People are saying that they're fed up with it.
I've gotten to the point where I've paid enough city parking tickets in Madison where it's like, what's one more? So
don't you agree that oftentimes the people who are lower incomes are disproportionately affected because they're the folks that can't afford to have housing where you have off-street parking?
That is absolutely a fair point. And so, I mean, I'm open to the discussion. I just don't really have a horse in the race at this point. And I do just find it fascinating how much it's firing you up.
This is fantastic. Yeah. Look, this is great. Not that you're fired up. But here we have Tom, a Madison snowplow driver. Tom calling in from Madison, who is a snowplow driver. First of all, Tom, thank you for everything you do. My deepest respect to anybody who does that. And what do you got for us, Tom?
Hi, Todd. I said to your guy that I was a private snowplow driver.
Oh, okay. Very good. Still, that's fine.
I was. I have not worked for the city, but I do have a fairly good perspective on the situation.
Give us your take.
The city of Madison only declares snow emergencies in a major snow event. Now, the city drivers swing big 10-foot snowplows. Mm-hmm. So let's take Willie Street as an example. You have two center driving lanes, and you have parking on either side. So we get a 3-inch snow event. Mm-hmm. 8 or 10 cars along Willie Street leave their cars there. The snowplow drivers first clear off the driving lane. Then they want to clear the parking lane, so they come up to a parked car. They have to swing that 10-foot plow around the car. That leaves like 3 spots with snow, including the snow that was all shoved over from the plow. And another 40 feet down the road, the snowplow driver has re-entered the parking lane. There's another car. He swings around that car, leaving another 3 spots encrusted with snow.
Sure.
Let's say that there are 10 cars parked along that lane, and...
Tom, I'm just going to interrupt for a second, not to be rude, but I get the point. I appreciate it that it's not convenient. No. But what I'm saying is if you declared a snow emergency at 3 inches and then everybody just had to move their cars and do alternate side parking, whether... You pick that could be 2 inches, 3 inches, I don't care, but doesn't that alleviate the problem that you just laid out?
Well, I guess we could declare 10 or 15 snow emergencies a year, but that's unnecessary. Now, follow with me for 1 second, Todd. Okay, so 4 or 5 of those cars stay parked there with the snow, with another 2 parking spaces on either side for 2 or 3 days. What happens to that snow? It partially melts. It freezes into an ice block.
Sure.
Now we get another 3 inches of snow a couple days later, or 2 inches of snow. It doesn't matter. So we only declare super emergencies in a major snow event. So now we plow around those cars again. Now we have anywhere from 6 to 10 inches of ice, which will be impossible to remove.
All right. So you're basically saying you're opposed to the idea.
Well, I'm with you in many respects. It's just that we reserve snow emergency events for something like 4 to 6 inches. I don't think we want everyone to not be able to park on the streets anytime we get an inch or two.
All right. Well, great. I appreciate the call, Tom.
What happens?
Right.
All that snow packs up in the major ice blocks.
Sure. I appreciate Tom. Thanks so much for calling and giving us your perspective as someone who's actually been out there on the streets. And again, my salute goes out to anybody who's a city worker or private worker who's keeping our streets safe. I got no problem with that, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tom brings his perspective. I think it is whatever the underneath the snow emergency threshold, say it's 3-4 inches, whatever you want to pin it at. I think Tom's point is valid because if you have anything underneath that and the cars don't move because they don't have to, it could lead to problems. So, again, It's strange talking about this on a 50-degree day, and I just got back from vacation, and I'm trying to catch up on other things. But, you know, I get your point,
that's
too.
That's my point. It's 50 degrees.
It is. It is. It's a all weird right. It's a weird time of year. It's a weird winter. The climate right. is changing. It's
well, here's something that happened while you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Hovde, O.C. Eric Hovde, the Republican candidate for United States Senate, was Wisconsin.
Laguna Beach?
Yes. O.C. Well, yes. He should be running Laguna Beach in California. He should be in the Senate primary tonight in California for Super Tuesday. But he's running in Wisconsin, you understand? So what we did is we dug up a couple of clips here. Number one, he jumps in the lake in Madison to prove that he's a man and he's from Wisconsin.
Oh, I thought he was just taking a preemptive when voters tell him to go jump in a lake that he was yes. jumping in a lake. I don't know. This is weird.
So,
you've run campaigns before. Jumping in a lake is not seemingly the smart thing to
do. No.
Is that not ammunition for the other? Like,
well, I said on Twitter because then he got a do-nothing Derek Van Orten over in the 3rd District calling out because apparently the Democratic Party of Wisconsin was looking for people to work in the 3rd District on you know, helping expose Derek Van Orten as a do-nothing person, which is the truth. And one of the words they used was to do political stunts to get mm-hmm. You know, media attention. And so Van Orten's going apoplectic and wetting himself because he's, oh my gosh, you know, people are doing stunts. On the same day that Eric Hovde jumps in the lake for a political stunt to get in attention.
Didn't DVO ride his motorcycle in like the middle of December? Or no, I don't even think he did. He put it on a trailer to take it to D.C. just to show
something
that he
like
had
that.
It. That's a political yeah. stunt too.
Absolutely. Well, and I said back in the day when I used to be a Republican and back in 1998 when I was running a congressional candidate here in Madison, then Republican Party staffer Brian Schimming, now the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, advised me to put my candidate in a chicken suit with a sign and stand on the street corner. And we said, Brian, what is that going to do? He goes, well, get you some media attention. I mean, Schimming himself is pro-political stunts. So this is nothing new.
Yeah, yeah. No, DVO is outraged about that. I think he's going to have a very interesting race on his hands this year, depending on which candidate he's going to go up against. Or just in fact, I think Wisconsin is going to have just a heck of a whirlwind between right. the state house now having new lines, having the national attention of a presidential race, the U.S. Senate race that is going on here, the congressional races under these new maps. This is the first time since redistricting that the congressional mm-hmm. maps are going to be the way that they are with a full election cycle
yes.
in place. Because yes. before we got these maps and it was pretty much like, okay, and there was no time for any candidates to really, besides the incumbents, go up against them. And so DVO actually ran for the second time. He lost right. the first time. So he was the exception kind of in that scenario. But this is going to be the first time on the new congressional maps with a full election cycle in place for candidates to run. It's going to be really interesting to see up and down the ticket from president to the U.S. Senate to House to the state house what's going to go on in Wisconsin. I think we're going to see a lot of political stunts between now and November.
So speaking of stunts, Mr. Zomers has this queued up. We're going to play a little bit of it. This is from Hovde, OC Eric Hovde. Listen to how he talks, his speech, his accent. Here he is in a lake in Wisconsin last week.
All right, this is the first one. I've got about a half-inch layer of ice on the lake. It was hard to break through, but it's good to get out of here for a good cold plunge. So the Dems and Senator Baldwin keep saying I'm not from Wisconsin, which is a complete joke. All right, Senator Baldwin, why don't you get out here in this frozen lake and let's really see who's from Wisconsin.
All right, there you go. And by the way, Senator Baldwin had a great response. No, period, heart emoji. So that was great. Yeah. So now you just heard how he talks when he's in Wisconsin. Here is Derek Van Orten from a couple of years ago.
Eric Hovde.
Thank you. Eric Hovde from a couple of years ago. OC Eric Hovde in California, a message from his $2 billion plus bank to his customers talking about his bank in California.
Hi, I'm Eric Hovde, CEO of SunWest Bank. Unfortunately, today, our country and the world are having to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. which is not only causing health concerns, but significant financial damage to our economy, businesses, and individuals.
So there you go. I mean, can you hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when he's in Wisconsin, he's like, oh, yeah. You know, he tries to do like a Wisconsin accent or he thinks it is.
He says a boat instead of about.
Yeah. But when he's in California, his native area out there, he talks like, you know, a non-Wisconsin, more of a Californian.
Yeah, he's the cue cards for the video probably had Scotty accent on them. I don't. Yeah.
I find that appalling.
Well, he saw that Tim Michaels, you know, didn't do that, and it didn't work for Tim Michaels, so he's trying to take the Tim Michaels playbook and just spin it a little bit different. And so Tim Michaels with an accent, who knows? Maybe could send Eric Hovde to the U.S. Senate is what
we'll
he's
see.
Thinking.
Wisconsin, or Luke Mathers is all Wisconsin accent. I haven't taken my medication.
I never see, it's one of those things
We got to come back in a second. We'll talk to Luke on the other side. Right. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the Tunnelball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. National news, weather, and sports coming up in an hour or two. We're going to talk about Super Tuesday, preview that a little bit. Also, the fake electors, surprise, surprise. The whole scheme started in Wisconsin, homegrown. And Ron Johnson, he really wants to be leader of the Republicans in the Senate? We'll discuss all that more. But first, right now, we have our executive producer of Civic Media. As we do each and every Tuesday, we always appreciate it. Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Luke, sir, what's on your mind? What's grinding your gears? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to catch back up. It's very nice to just unplug for a extended period of time.
Do you want to tell people where you went?
Yeah. So wife and I went out. We both had some birthdays at the end of last month. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of March was our dating anniversary. So we celebrated 10 years together and our birthdays. Mm-hmm. And so we went out to the national parks in Arizona. We hit all three of their national parks out there.
That's fantastic.
It was like 1,200 miles driving. So
did you take the dogs with you?
We did not. Okay. It was dog friendly, but having them fly, and Aurora's just a very, very young puppy. So she barely liked the drive to and from the mother-in-law's house to where she was being dog sat all week while we were gone.
There's a lot of guys that wouldn't appreciate the drive to the mother-in-law's house either.
Well, she's not even 10 weeks old yet. So we're like, right. No, we're not traveling with the dogs, but we were kicking ourselves because every place that we were was dog friendly, so it was kind of like one of those things where had we it would have been really nice, but it was a lot of driving. We put more than like 1,200 miles, I want to say, on the rental car, but saw all the amazing wonderness of the national parks. We did Petrified Forest, the Grand Canyon, and Saguaro.
Yeah,
I'm saying it
the
wrong.
Big cacti.
Yeah, massive, not big as. Big is not the right word because these things are huge.
How tall are they?
They're like some of them are 70 feet tall.
70.
Yes. Wow. And they're all like 100 to 200 years old. That's crazy. Incredible. And the vast amount, like, it gets a bad rep because when we were researching the trip and going on, like getting ready for it, a lot of people were like, not worth it. You know, you don't need to spend a whole lot of time in this national park. Kelsey and I had so much fun. We did hikes in both. There's an east and west kind of split between Tucson. And we did both. We did sunset in one and sunrise in the other. Great experience. Wow. So it was a lot of fun.
I think that's fantastic. I'm a big believer that the national park system is one of the most underutilized and unknown among some people in America. And it was set up for all Americans to use. And although we don't have a lot super close to Wisconsin, if you could ever plan a trip like you and your lovely wife did, they should do it because our national parks are a treasure.
Yeah, and Stephen Mather. I don't know.
Is it related?
Stephen Mather is the individual back at the start of the 20th century that started laying the foundation for the national parks. So, yeah, we're getting some pictures in from Saguaro.
Do you get a life? Look at that. Do you get a membership, a life membership?
I wish. That'd be nice. But there's a nice little plaque. And Mather Point is like the point at the Grand Canyon where you overlook the vista. So, like, the vastness that you can see of the Grand Canyon is Mather Point. And so my dad was, like, super excited. He's like, you got to get a picture at Mather Point. And I was like, I know, it's on the bucket list. Like, I got it. But typically, there's a tribute to Mather in almost every single national park. So we try to get to all of them. I didn't find the one in Saguaro, though. The one in Petrified Forest. The one, it'd be hard to miss the one in the Grand Canyon. But the boulevard leaving Mount Rainier when you're heading back to Seattle, that's the Mather Parkway. There's Camp Mather at Yosemite and several other ones. So there's like a tribute to Mather everywhere, which is really cool. Just added like namesake aspect to the trip. But I've now been to 15 of the national parks. And Kelsey's gotten to a dozen with this trip. So hopefully, eventually, going to check them all off because
that's great.
We love them.
Yeah, it's a great thing to go to. And if folks can't quite get to a national park, check out the state park system because equally, maybe not equally always, but in their own way, equally impressive. Whether it's you got Copper Falls in northern Wisconsin or even Devil's Lake State Park here in southwest Wisconsin,
out in western Wisconsin. Yeah, there's definitely some excellent Peninsula State Park. There's great ones. So getting outside, unplugging. And then just the respect for everybody that's in the news because, man, it's hard to catch up on things when you do take some time to unplug. And so, folks, you don't have to know everything. You really don't. You should be tuning in and finding out the important things. But, like, man, does a lot happen when you take some time to unplug.
Well, and I think you just hit on something because I think it was Thursday last week when Mr. Zomers was ill and we were short of producers. So we said, no problem, we'll just do a rerun. And then what we did was we did a live version on Facebook. We did a live stream on Facebook and I went out to Picnic Point here in Madison and we talked about exactly what you were saying. It's just, hey, sometimes the unexpected is a good thing. And we didn't talk politics at all for half an hour. We talked about meditation and the outdoors and just recharging ourselves and worrying about our mental health. So I think this is just another good reminder that yes, the news is important, things that happen in politics are important, but also unplugging sometimes is also important.
Yeah, and so it's finding that balance, and it was a really good week, and I'm excited to be back. We've got a lot to cover here in 2024, and so feeling really good, but still exhausted. None of our vacations.
You need a vacation from vacation.
I would say none of our vacations are really like R&R. It's all, well, how can we go and see as much as we possibly can in the time that we have? And that's what we did.
Very quickly, let's go back to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, just very quickly, I understand you have something on Mather here. Give it to us.
Yeah, so I actually live in the Mather Heights neighborhood and in Green Bay.
Look at that.
And we actually also have a park named after it, and it's actually a tribute to that. So I just thought that would be interesting for you guys to know.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. Maybe we'll come up and do this show from Mather Park with Luke Mathers on a Tuesday. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be great.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the call back. Thank you so very much. Luke Stern, about a minute and a half left here. Any big predictions, any thoughts on Super Tuesday? We're going to preview it next hour.
I think it's going to be a lot of what we've already been seeing where there's going to be results coming in that are close to polling for a lot of the instances, but there's going to be an underperformance of Donald Trump that's not going to be talked about. He's going to be still referred to as the clear front runner, the eventual nominee, all of that stuff. And then any divide that is in the Democratic Party is really going to be played up, even though it's maybe half or even less than that of the divide in the Republican Party. So I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot of those headlines tonight. Surprising you don't want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, man.
Give it to us. You got a minute, or got, well, how long? You got 30 seconds. Go. Yeah.
Well, 6-0 since the All-Star break, and taking down one of the top teams in the West yesterday. Everybody that was freaking out about Doc Rivers and the coaching rift and everything, I don't know. It's looking pretty good right now.
How far do they go to the playoffs?
Oh, I think this is the year. They're going to get it again.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been saying it since they traded for Dame.
You heard it here
first. Since they traded for Dame,
Luke Matters says the Bucks are world champions again. You heard it here on March 5th. Mark it down.
I said it back when Dame got traded.
All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Luke Matters, you always appreciate it. Tuesday Tales. Luke, back with Hour 2 after this. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media. Ready to open.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Tune in for a Super Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll bring you all the electoral results and more 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Voters in 16 states and one U.S. territory are hitting primary polls today for Super Tuesday, and political analysts